Somebody asked Anthony, "What shall I do in order to please God?" He replied, "Do what I tell you, which is this: wherever you go, keep God in mind. Whatever you do, follow the example of Holy Scripture. Wherever you are, stay there, and do not move away in a hurry." That was the first thing I read from the Desert Fathers. A month ago, when I began a month-long sabbatical, with the primary goal of just being with God. So let's pray together as we begin this time of proclamation. This prayer, by the way, is not mine. It was originally written by Thomas Merton. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. A little over a month ago, at 6 a.m, I pointed my bike west. I eventually wound up later that afternoon in Comfort, Texas, out in the hill country. So 6 a.m., get on my bike, head west. I stop a couple of places along the way. I stopped at a gas station, and when you're on a motorcycle wearing motorcycle club colors, people come up and talk to you. And one guy came up and said, "I used to ride with Erden Erden back in the 1970s. Erden Erden was one of the old guys, found our club a long time ago. He rode a motorcycle everywhere. That's how he got his name, Erden Erden. So anyway, that's the kind of people who just come up to you and you know immediately what they're talking about. Get back on the bike, ride to Green Harley-Davidson in Green, Texas. Y'all think that Bucky's has clean bathrooms? Best kept secret, Harley dealerships. Super clean bathrooms. Stop, I packed a sandwich in the saddlebag, ate a sandwich in the rider's lounge, get back on my bike. Wind up at the Haven River Inn in Comfort, Texas, right around lunchtime. And at the Haven River Inn, scattered all around their property are porch swings. And so I decide to start a silent retreat by sitting on a porch swing, trying not to really think about that much, trying to give up the need to be productive all the time. The bad thing about this thing I read from Anthony from the Desert Fathers is that for a couple of days of reading on porch swings, I had to try to let go of thinking about reading it and saying, well, how would I teach this? What would we do in a class with this? To just let go of that and just be with God. And it was hard. And it was hard to be with God and be completely silent. In fact, a couple of days into my silent retreat, I'm sitting on a porch swing under this beautiful tree and just trying to be with God, and the Haven River Inn, which hosts ministers on sabbatical. You can go stay there for free for a couple of days. So it was wonderful. Well, they're also having a board meeting, and one of the board members found out what I was doing. And so I'm sitting on the porch swing, and here comes this guy walking right up to me. He goes, I hear you're on a silent retreat. How's that going? So you ever seen A Christmas Story when the delivery man comes and he says, "What's in the box?" And the guy says, "I don't know." And he says, "Well, what is it?" And he gives him this look. That's what I did. That was the best way. I was like, think about what you just asked me. So I go back to my silent retreat, trying to be quiet with God. And as I sat there thinking about God, there was nothing really wrong. But silence challenges who you are. You realize that sometimes you go through the motions of being with God without really being with God. You ever been there? You ever just come to church on a Sunday morning and you leave after the worship service is over and you feel just as dry as you did whenever you came? You go through the motions of being with God, and that's one of the negative byproducts sometimes of being with God over a long period of time, of being a Christian for a long period of time, is that if you're not careful, you can just kind of go through the motions. Sing the songs, stand up when we're supposed to stand up, sit down when we're supposed to sit down, come up to the table, listen to the sermon, without ever really being with God. And so you sit with God. You still your mind. You try to let go of the troubles of the world. But sometimes when you try to let go of the troubles of the world, it only makes them more apparent. It only makes them feel that much more real. Sometimes that can cause trouble with God. And sometimes it's easier to go through life when we are distracted, when we're full of noise. And we have gotten good at that through the years, surrounding ourselves with noise. But go get still with God. Go get quiet sometime with God. Here's one place to start. This is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it. When the morning dawns, the nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, he burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I have a teacher who calls things like this a world imagined. The world imagined in Scripture. And what Johnson means by that, the world imagined in Scripture, is that this world, according to God, is going to exist someday. And we're closer to it today than we were yesterday, but it doesn't feel like this. This is a world imagined. This is the way it's supposed to be, but it doesn't feel like this. I like the sound of it, though, don't you? God is in the midst of the city. We live in a city. I like the sound of that. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. You can say that again. That's one place where Scripture has it just right. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I like the sound of that. He makes the war cease to the ends of the earth. Not yet. not feeling it yet. I want to. But that's when sometimes a passage of Scripture like this that imagines a world causes us trouble with God. Because my initial reaction, and I don't mean for it to sound irreverent, and I certainly don't want it to sound blasphemous, but I read something like this, and I think you do too. When we see God's Word saying things like this, the immediate reaction, if we're honest with ourselves, might be, God, what are you waiting on? What's taking you so long? The war ceased to the ends of the earth. Well, what are you waiting on? Sometimes this causes us trouble. And then, back to last week, you may have noticed that in the worship service so far, we sang a lot of the same songs we sang last week. That was on purpose. We didn't accidentally pick up the order of words. Oh, that was last week's. It was on purpose. It's because we were going to read last week's psalm again along with Psalm 46. So here's Psalm 63 again. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast. In my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed. Meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me, but those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be prey for jackals, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of the liars will be stopped. The reason I wanted to read both of those together this morning is that I think that this is one of those times where Scripture speaks to itself. It becomes a conversation with itself. All this stuff about war ceasing, when's that going to happen? I don't know. We're closer to it today than we were yesterday, and that's the good news of this kind of gospel message, but we're not there yet. And I don't know if that's bad news or good news, it's just the way it is. But in response to that, what do we say? What do we sing? Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Does that sound familiar? You ever hungry and thirsty for God in a time where sometimes God leaves you a little bit hungry, a little bit thirsty, or that's the way it feels? Did you notice when we read both of these ancient songs that neither one of these songs really asks much, if anything, from God? Did you notice that? These are songs sung to God without asking anything from God. In many ways, these psalms want what we ultimately want, and that is just to be with God, to be in the presence of God. They do what many of the ancient songs of God's people do. They invite us into the presence of God. They say, come be in the presence of God. You don't have to ask anything of God. You don't have to do anything for Him. Not right now. Just come be in the presence of God. I've said before that the word hallelujah is a second person plural word spoken to one another, not to God. Hallelujah is a call to worship word. It literally translated is, y'all come praise God. It's a plural call to worship word. An individual does not say hallelujah. And if an individual says hallelujah, it's an invitation to the group, to the community. And again, that's the beauty of coming and being in the presence of God, like we're doing this morning, is that this is a hallelujah moment in the experience of God's people. where we invite one another into the presence of God in the same way that God invites us into His presence. And I began to realize a few weeks into my sabbatical just how tied my relationship with God is to my community of faith. See, the wonderful thing about going and sitting on a porch swing by yourself and at least trying to be silent is that you get to be with God, but one of the negative byproducts that was a positive is that you start realizing there's something missing. There's something missing in sitting on the porch swing with God. And it was us. It was the experience of the community of faith. I came back being a lot bigger fan of church than I was when I left. And it wasn't that I wasn't a fan of church. I like church. I've always liked church. I mean, you don't wind up doing what I do if you don't at least like it a little bit. Because I like church. But there is something to be said about coming in here for a few hours on a Sunday morning and being with each other. And so that's why I said last week, and I'll say it again this week, I don't know what to call it. It sounds flippant to say let's up our game or up the ante. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say that's going to put this in the right frame of reference. So, having said that, let's up our game as a church. Up the ante a little bit. Let's get here at 8:45. I know it's asking a lot, but we do it during the week sometimes. Let's get here a few minutes early. Share in community with each other. Come to class together. Be with each other in community. If you can't, if there's something physically holding you back from that, that's okay. We understand. We're not going back to what some of us have experienced, and that is, you be here when the doors open and you be here until they close every time or else you're going to hell. That's not what I'm advocating at all. Because we've been there, some of us, and it's not any fun. It just takes the life out of church. That's not what I'm talking about. We were in class this morning in the parlor and we were sitting in, you know, circles sharing life together. And, you know, Samira told a story. You know, a bunch of us told stories about being with each other in the presence of God. And there was something really special about that kind of conversation when it happens. And the thing about it is, I just don't want to miss out on something like that, of us being together in the presence of God. So it's not church for the sake of church. That misses the point of church anyway. It's us coming together as a church to share our lives in community. When I was in seventh grade, I used to walk to school. And it was in an urban area right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And there was a cop that was the crossing guard. And this cop, one morning, you know, most of the time he'd say hi to the kids or something, but this one morning he said, right to me, looked me right in the eye, I hope you have a nice day today. Why do I remember that? I was in seventh grade. Why did that stand out? Honest truth, I don't know. I don't know why I remember that. I don't know why I remember a cop stopping traffic saying, I hope you have a nice day today, has stuck with me all these years later, but it did. And I think that most of us have had an experience like that in the life of the church, if you've been doing this for more than a few years, where somebody said something to you, somebody gave you a hug, somebody shook your hand, just something. And I don't want to miss out on that. That experience of being in the presence of God with one another. I don't want to miss that. But sometimes being in the presence of God makes things harder. Sometimes it can cause trouble. Because whether it's like Jesus who challenges our notions who challenges our preconceived notions and constantly asks us to come into His presence, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him, sometimes it's hard to be with God. You know, we talked about this last week as well. In the history of the Christian tradition, we've done a lot of doing for God. We do a lot of asking of God. But a really important part of the history of Christianity is this idea of being with God. And for some reason, at least in some of our traditions, we haven't emphasized that very much. And I think that we've missed out on some things. What if this morning, God's not asking anything of you? God's not asking you to do anything. Just come be in the presence of God. Now, by this afternoon, God's probably going to ask things of us. We're going to do things for God. But at this moment, can we just be with God? You see, the lyrics of Psalm 63 that we read last week and this week, even though they eventually wind up in real life, all that stuff about the mouths of the liars and prey of jackals, all that business, that's where it winds up, because that's real life. But it begins with proclaiming God, longing for God. It's a song of the people. This is a song of the early church. I mean, these are words that may have been written by one person, but they eventually proclaim how we as the people of God get to spend time with God. What happens when our desire to be with God causes us trouble? What happens when God's silence is too much to take? Because again, this happens when we read Scripture and it talks about wars ceasing, bows breaking, shields burning. But we're not there yet. So what do? We keep singing. And we keep singing together. We say together with one voice, even during those times where God is just too silent for my comfort level, we keep singing. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning, learn to walk in Your ways, and step by step You'll lead me, and I'll follow You all of my days. So you want to be with God. Well, wherever you go, keep God in mind. Perhaps put reminders in place that you'll see throughout the day, reminders to pray and be with God. Sometimes I have trouble with God, but I think God probably sometimes has trouble with me. But God is faithful, and so I'm going to try to be too. You want to be with God? Read Scripture. Pick a passage of Scripture each week and carry it around with you. Take it with you. The Word of God is living. This is not some ancient document. It's a Word that God continues to speak to us if we will listen. So you want to be with God. Be present with those you meet as a way to honor God's gift of one another. That last one is sometimes easier said than done. I realize that, and yet we be together. So someone asked me recently to comment more in my sermons on current events. Okay. I'll start with this. As that great 20th century philosopher Jimi Hendrix once put it, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Amen.